I want to welcome to the stage my friend, my brother, my business partner, a man that I've traveled around the world with. And what I love about the Ziegler's more than anything else, Zig, Tom, Julie, Cindy, the Ziegler team, Alexandra, I get to work with Alexandra, Ziegler, and all the people that are in ZLC are real. And what I love about this man and the Ziegler's, more than anything else, they're the same people, even better people, backstage than they are on stage. Welcome to the stage, Mr. Tom Ziegler, the proud son of Zig Ziegler.
Good job.
All right. Give it up for Mr. Howard Partridge. All right. Oh. How many of you are excited today? You excited? So always, I'll start every presentation the same way. How many of you here today have either heard me before or else this is your first time? Could I see your hands? It works every time. It's amazing how that works. Gosh, now let me ask you another question. How many of you here today are here because of Zig Ziegler? Can I see your hands? Yeah. Now, Cindy in the back, raise your hand. My sister Cindy. Where's Julie? Is Julie in here? There's Julie. That's my sister Julie. The three of us, now we're literally here because of Zig Ziegler. Howard said, hey, can you talk about legacy? And I'm like, well, since I got 4 hours, I can probably cover just a little bit of it. He said, no, you got 45 minutes. And I said, okay, well, let's get into the legacy. And you know, when I talk about legacy, I share my heart. I share my family stories. I talk about the things that I've watched in the lives of others. I mean, I got a call like 2 weeks ago. Actually, it was an email. This guy emails me. He says, Tom, I got to tell you this story. He goes, over 20 years ago, this happened. My friend just told it to me today. So remember, this friend is telling him the story that happened 20 years ago. Back when Dad did the big Peter Lowe Get Motivated seminars. Anybody go see Dad at one of those? Well, they would have these breakfast meetings or these lunch meetings, and Dad would do a little Q&A. And one of those sessions was over, and this man was walking through, and he had his 7-year-old and his 9-year-old with him. And he looks into the room, and he sees Dad sitting down talking, and he looks at his two boys, and he says, sons, I want you to meet Mr. Ziegler. So they walk in. He taps Dad on the shoulder. He says, Mr. Ziegler, I'm so-and-so, and these are my two sons. I wanted you to meet them. I want them to know who you are. So Dad did what he always did. He turned around and he jumped up, and then he does this. And he has this little movement where he puts his hands on either one of their sides, on their shoulders, and he kind of tilts them this way and tilts them that way and looks them over. And then he goes to the other one, he does the same thing, and he goes, I knew it. And he looks at the two boys in their eyes and he says, I knew it. I can tell it from a mile off. You are both winners. Three weeks later, the 9-year-old was playing like in peewee football. Their team was getting beat bad. It was like 35-0 when the game was over. And as they were leaving the field, the other team started taunting. You're a bunch of losers. You're a bunch of losers. This little boy comes to the sideline. He looks up at his dad, and he said, Dad, those boys called us losers, but we're not losers. I'm a winner because Mr. Ziegler said I'm a winner. 20 years later, that story gets related to me. That's legacy. That is legacy. Dad and I, gosh, we had so much fun. I mean, we did life together. We played golf together. We traveled together. I am blessed to have the father that I had with Dad and his legendary philosophy. You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. I mean, that is an incredible philosophy. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Does anybody share a testimony with that where you've seen that happen in your own life? Could I see your hands? Yeah, it just works. It's the difference in what has to go on. But for me personally, it was the family. It was the family legacy that I witnessed, because if it doesn't happen at home, where's it going to happen? Right? If it doesn't start there, what's going to be the difference in the world when we go out? And so I love this picture because there's Mom. Now, Mom is 90 years and 2 days old today. Yeah, that's worth a round of applause. So does anybody know her nickname? The Redhead. And she was a decided redhead, meaning that one day she just decided. She years ago, she told her beautician, hey, you keep me in the red, I'll keep you in the black. We also call Mom the happy hugger, and if you've ever met her, you've gotten a hug from her. In fact, if she sees you, she'll stop you and hug you. And if it's not moving, she'll dust it off and sell it. So that's Mom for you. I mean, she just approaches it. That's our whole family there. That's my daughter, Alexandra. That's a few years ago. Alexandra, would you wave to everybody? That's my daughter in real life, right? So how cool is it to work with your kids? I mean, that is just an amazing blessing to me. Of course, standing next to Mom is my wife, Chachis Rosario, all the way from Campeche, Mexico. And then next to Dad are Cindy and Julie. So make sure that you talk to Cindy and Julie while you're here. Julie's going to be speaking tomorrow on legacy as well. But the picture that I want to call your attention to, and I put this particular slide in every presentation I do. Because have you ever noticed that what you tell other people is one of the things that you need to tell yourself? Ever noticed that? In fact, Dad had this habit. Whenever we would accompany him to go do a presentation, he would on the elevator, he would greet somebody. And they'd go, oh, you're the speaker. And he'd go, oh, yeah. He'd go, Zig, I'm a big fan. What are you going to talk about today? And then he would rehearse his speech right there. So this morning, I felt myself rehearsing my speech with the conversations that I had. Well, this is one of the ways that I remember the legacy, is I always put this slide into it. That bottom picture, that was the last time that we as a family were out together with Dad. This was late in his life. His physical health was failing. And we were at a fundraiser. We were actually at Minnie's Food Pantry. They were raising money. We were there. The photographer comes to the table and says, hey, can I take a picture? And so when the photographer comes to the table, where do you look? The camera. Where's Dad looking? Dad's looking at the redhead. That's right. And so every time I see this picture, this line, this thought goes through my mind. You can tell the quality of a man's heart by where his eyes are focused. Ladies, you can tell the quality of a woman's heart by where her eyes are focused. Make no mistake about it, Dad's eyes were laser focused in his life. And he got us started young. I remember going to events like this when I was 9, 10. I remember the first event that really stuck in my mind, it was a Shackley convention. Anybody familiar with Shackley? I was like 9 years old. These crazy people were having a parade in Minnesota in March, outside in a convertible. And Dad was like the grand marshal of the parade. So I'm sitting next to Dad, and we've got icicles literally coming off of our ears while we're going around. That's how I grew up. Dad wanted me to go and hear speakers and experts and people who were life changers. That picture with Dad and I there, I think I'm 12. Paul Harvey, Norman Vincent Peale, Art Linkletter, those people were in the room that day. And so what did I learn from Dad? I learned that, you know, the important things in life, the things that we really want to pass on, we take our kids. We bring them in. So Alexandra has had the privilege. Alexander, close your ears. Dad has had the privilege of taking Alexandra on a lot of places. That picture there, that's when we were at Cambridge. I've had you know, how cool is it? Cambridge, they had a conference there. They said, hey, can you come and speak on Zig Ziglar's influence in business? Well, what would you say? Huh, yeah. I had another chance. I got to speak at Harvard. The same group wanted me to come to Harvard and speak on Zig Ziglar's impact in business. Let me tell you about that one. This is the legacy of Zig Ziglar. So there's all these academics in the room. I mean, you walk in and you feel kind of like, uh-oh, this crowd is highfalutin. So we're in there and nobody's laughing at all my jokes. I mean, nobody's laughing. So that's kind of awkward, isn't it? I mean, laughter's a sign of intelligence. I mean, that's what I've always been told. So I said, oh, by the way, do you guys know that Dad wrote his books at the 7th grade, 3rd month level? And they all kind of, this was data, right? So the whole room looked up a little bit. And I said, do you want to know why Dad wrote all of his books at the 7th grade, 3rd month level? So now they're leaning in. I said, Dad said this. He said, I write my books at the 7th grade, 3rd month level. That way, even college professors can understand it. You know, Dad used to say, you know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I don't understand what I read in the Bible. That, you know, Dad said, it's not the part they don't understand that bothers them. Think about that. It's the simple thing. So Dad did that. So traveling with my daughter, so what's the lesson there? To a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Man, to a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E. I mean, we can do all the planning. We can do all the things that we want. But if we don't spend time with those that we love, our family, where does it go from there? And then, of course, this is my favorite of all pictures of Dad. If you wanted to say, Tom, what is a picture of legacy? It's that picture right there. When you see the countenance, that was my dad's 80th birthday party. When you see the countenance on his face, what does it tell you? What's the emotion that you see coming out of that?
Joy.
Joy. What else? Fulfilled. Anything else?
Confidence.
Confidence. Same tie. Yeah, the same tie. So this is I'm going to be using the word intentional a lot. If you want to leave a legacy, you want to make it intentional. After Dad was no longer traveling and speaking with Julie on stage when she would interview him, I had just started to go out and speak. So I'm at Mom and Dad's, and they're living at the Legacy in Plano. It's a senior community, and I'm over there visiting with them, and I sit down, and Mom looks at me, and she says, son, your dad and I have been talking. We want you to have something. Okay. So she goes back into the bedroom, and she comes out, and she's got this long, skinny box, and she puts it in my lap, and I open it up. And it's all of Dad's ties. And she said, son, your dad and I, every time you speak, we want you to wear one of Dad's ties. And so every time I prepare for a presentation, every time I put on one of Dad's ties, this is obviously Dad's tie because we've got proof, but tomorrow I'll be wearing another one of Dad's ties. Every time I put this tie on, it's like putting on the full armor. Right, it's looking in the mirror and saying, how much did Dad prepare? Golly, did I match up to that? Did I do that in my preparation? This is an intentional legacy moment. And I want you to think as we go through the rest of this time together, when I give you something that we do, that Dad did for me, I want you to think about how you can do something similar in your own family. Because every family is unique. Every family's got its own history. Your own stories. What are the things that you can share with your family? This is a legacy moment. And every time I look at this tie and I get ready to speak, I remember this thought. This thought comes through my head. wow, this Ty has heard some amazing speeches. And I'm just praying it hears one more. So I want to give you today four choices that'll change everything. So this is the legacy of Zig Ziglar. I want to talk to you about four choices that change everything. So as you're taking notes, think about these four choices. And the reason I use the word choice is very simple. I think an intentional legacy is a choice. I think the attitude that we take with us to work is a choice. I think the character that we demonstrate on a daily basis is a choice. Because we can choose to build our character, we can choose to have work ethic, we can choose to communicate with love and respect and kindness and compassion everywhere we go, or we can choose not to. Yeah, you can hand those out. All right. The first choice. Choose the right input. This is the number one lesson that I learned from my father. The right input changes everything. There's a saying, it says, your input determines your outlook determines your output, and your output determines your outcome. Input determines outcome. Does that make sense? God, there's a story I tell. I mean, how many of you have you either have currently or will have or have had in the past, okay? So we're doing a time span. A daughter or a niece, somebody you love, somebody who you've adopted into your family who was 16 or 17 years old at one time. Can I see your hands? That's just like everybody, right? A 16 or 17, you're going to have it, okay? Now I want you to picture this. I want you to imagine that you're we'll just call her 17. Your 17-year-old princess, the love of your life, she's about to go on a date. And the hairy-legged 18-year-old boyfriend's coming over to pick up your 17-year-old princess. Are we painting a picture here? Now, the date is at 6 o'clock. At 5:15, the rumble of the Transmero pulls up in front of your house. How many of you know what a Transmero is? Okay, that's a half Trans Am, half Camaro. They're very common in East Texas. You getting the picture of this situation? So this 18-year-old boy gets to your house 45 minutes early for the date. You're not so sure about this boy. And he sits in the Transmero out in front of your house. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And like any good parent, you're like, I got to go check this out. This doesn't make any sense to me. And so you do a little recon. And recon is where you kind of come back from the blind spot and you look in. And as you get to the driver's window and you're looking in, this young man, this 18-year-old hairy-legged boy, has his smartphone out and he's watching porn. Does he get to go out with your daughter that night? Your input is the most important thing in your life. We have to guard and protect what we put into our mind. Howard already mentioned this quote, but this was my life quote from Dad. This was my favorite one of his. You are what you are and where you are because of what's gone into your mind, and you can change what you are and you can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. That's a powerful quote. It says that if we're not happy with who we are today, right now, we can change. We can change the input, and the input will change who we are, and who we are, when that changes, the output will change. I'm simple. I like things plain, and I don't know why, but I associate everything with food. Does anybody else do that? All my schedules are around, well, is that before we eat or after we eat, okay? So I have this quote, what you feed your mind determines your appetite. In other words, what you focus on, what you want to become, what you want to do, what you put in, is it intentional? That's the appetite. You're going to want more of that. If you're letting anything in and it's not good, you're going to want more of that. So I'm speaking in Atlanta. And this lady in Atlanta jumps up in the back of the room. I read that quote, what you feed your mind determines your appetite. She jumps up and says, that's just like NASCAR. How many of you were thinking NASCAR? Anybody? No. I go, explain that. And she said, oh, it's easy. When you go around the track at 180 miles per hour, your eyes have to look where you want the car to go. Because at that speed, if your eyes look at the wall, your hands will make a micro movement and they will follow your eyes and you will hit the wall. The little micro movement at that speed on the steering wheel will make you hit the wall. And I'm like, that's exactly right. So how do we do life? We say this, don't eat the cheesecake. Don't say that rude thing. Don't sit on the couch all day. So what do? We eat the cheesecake. We rip into somebody and we sit on the couch all day. We've literally got to change the perspective. You see, when we choose the input, when we have that intentional decision, what we then say is, okay, this is what I want. Man, I love healthy salads. I'm going to bring words of love, hope, and encouragement to everybody I see. And my goodness, today is packed. I'm going to get so much done, it's going to be unbelievable. When we start telling our brain these things, our brain acts to do that. Number two, choose to start the day with intention. Choose to start the day with intention. I'll give you a quick secret. You want the shortcut? Here's the shortcut. They'll say, Tom, your dad did so much. If you could boil it down, what was it about your dad that led to his incredible success? I say, you know what? He started every day the same way. 3 hours of putting the good stuff in. But here was his purpose. You see, his purpose was to learn something new that he could internalize and then share with somebody else that would change their life. Think about that. What if you just took a few moments at the beginning of the day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to learn and internalize something with the purpose of sharing it with somebody else so that it would change their life? Kind of sounds like this quote, doesn't it? You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. You see, Dad did all the good stuff in the intentional start of his day. He read God's word and he put the information in. He worked on his book. He practiced his speech. He did all these different things. But you see, his purpose, his intention in the start of the day was to transform himself, to learn something that would make a difference in somebody else's life. So when we talk about legacy, that's what we want to talk about. Step number three, the choices. Choose intentional transformation. So I'm smiling at Jeffrey because our word is transformation. I think I first started hearing the word from you, and you know that's a word that means a lot. But we all want to transform into the person that God created us to become. And so we've got to be intentional in the transformation. So I've come up with this idea called the Trinity of Transformation, and I want to share that with you. But before I share that, I want to share something else with you. I've come out with a book. It's going to come out in March. About 2 weeks ago, we put a survey out to our newsletter list, and we said, hey, we need some help with this title. And so here is the title, and I love it. You ready? This is what the book's going to be when it comes out in March. Choose to win, transform your life one small choice at a time. You like that? Is that good? Yes. Go ahead. Give it up. Applause is a sign of intelligence. So here's the Trinity of Transformation. Desire, hope, and grit. Desire, hope, and grit. Oh my gosh, I've never seen anybody in my life with more desire to change the world than Zig Ziglar. It didn't matter his age. When he was 50, he couldn't wait. You know, he had stuff in his life he wanted to get done. He had the next event. He had the next book. When he was in his 60s, it was even more intense because now he was closer to the finish line and he had more stuff to accomplish in less time. In his 70s, it just escalated again. It was an incredible thing to see the desire in his mind. He was always solution-focused. What can I do next to make it happen? Desire, hope, and grit. So here's how it works. I want to give you a model. The first thing that we've got to do, and this is a balloon, okay? Now, I want you to picture this. This balloon is a transportation device, and it's going to take you to your dreams. How many of you want to go to your dreams? You good with that? Let's go get our dreams. This balloon is going to take you to your dreams. It's going to take you across the widest ocean. It's going to take you over the tallest mountain. That's what this balloon is about. And so we've got to put the right things into the balloon because we've got to be intentional about our transformation. So the first question is, what do you want? Where do you want to go? Where do you want the balloon to take you? And so you need to take some time and you need to write down all of your desires, all of your wants, all your goals, everything you want to be, do, and have. And I want you in your mind right now to picture yourself in the basket of the balloon, filling it up with your desires, your wants, your goals, everything you want to be, do, and have, the things in life that you want to accomplish. Can you see yourself putting that in? You're writing it down. This is the dream list. It's the desire list. Man, desires is what gets things started. So you write all these desires down. You put them in the basket of the balloon. And then you add something else into that balloon. You add in your gifts and talents, your skills and your experience. So there's two things that go into a balloon: your desires, your wants, your goals, and then your gifts and talents. How many of you know that you're the only person ever in creation to be you? You're the only one. Nobody has a unique combination of gifts and talents, skills and experience than you do. You are the only one who can accomplish things with that set of skills, gifts and talents in the universe. Doesn't it make sense to identify the gifts and talents that God's given you that are a true gift? I mean, let's face it. Everybody in this room has the gift of singing. We all do. Now, some of us are a one and some of us are a 10. I'm a one. Now, here's the reality. As a one, I can work on my singing as much as I want. I can get a voice coach. I can get practice. I can listen to music. I can do it every day. And I might be able to move my talent to a 3 or a 4. Does that make sense? But there are some things that God gifted with me with that I was born with. My talent level at birth might have been potentially a 6 or a 7, but I can move that up to an 8, 9, or a 10. And so what I want you to think about in this balloon is, what are you naturally good at? What are the gifts and talents that you have been given by your Creator? When your friends come to you and say, hey, can you help me with this challenge, this problem? Does it have to do with numbers or relationships? Do you like working inside or outside? I mean, what are the things that when you're in your sweet spot that you're really good at? Because when you identify your gifts and talents, the things that make you unique, and it starts to combine with your desires, your dreams, and your goals, a fire is lit. And then the balloon of hope fills up. The balloon of hope fills up. And now your balloon is starting to take off. You're starting to get some altitude. And this balloon of hope is pretty cool because, and Dad, you know, this is a Zig Ziglar quote. He said, when you get altitude, when you can see your past, right? Because you're now up here in the balloon, you're at 100 feet, and this is a unique balloon because you can look into your past and you can go, wow, look at my past. I didn't so much like that. I wish that had been different. Ooh, that was a win. Ooh, I've got a scar from that one. But here's what you realize in this balloon of hope. You realize that your past is important because it's brought you to where you are today. But it's not nearly as important as the way you see your future. Your past is important because it has brought you to where you are today. But it's not nearly as important as the way you see your future. And so I want you to picture in your mind in this transformation, step number 3. You're in this balloon, you're looking at your past, and you go, wow, that's good, I'm here. And then you turn and you look into your future, and you see the potential of your desires, your goals, and everything you want to be, do, and have mixing with your gifts and talents. Man, if I take what I'm good at and apply it to my desires, what can happen? So this balloon starts to rise, and then it just kind of levels off. It just gets up to that 100 feet, and you're like, what happened? Anybody ever been in your own balloon in your life where you think you're on track, and then it just, boop, just kind of stops? So you're like, what's the deal? I can see that mountain. 100 feet's not getting over that mountain. The mountain in this illustration is the obstacle. So you look up, and then there's this thing called the furnace. This is where the fire comes out. And on the furnace is a knob. And on that knob is the word grit. And so you turn the knob of grit, and a white-hot flame comes out of that balloon. And it starts rocketing up. So what's grit? Grit is that perseverance, that persistent consistency, that discipline, that work ethic. Grit is when you get knocked down 100 times, you get up 101. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Angela Duckworth wrote a book called Grit, and in that she talked about the top performers in any industry, the one character quality they have in common is grit. They don't give up. In fact, here's a classic example of grit. The world says, oh, you'll never do that. And you step back and say, watch me. You with me on this grit? So now you're rocketing up. Things are good, right? You're working with grit on your gifts and talents, your strengths, the things that God's given you. And then the balloon suddenly stops. And you look over the side. And there's a rope tying your balloon down. Anybody ever felt like your balloon was tied down? So what are these ropes that hold you down? These are the wrong beliefs. Oh, you know, nobody in our family ever went to college, so I can never go. Or, you know, starting a business is for somebody else, not me. Or, gosh, I've got one store. Why would I want two? See, that's a set of wrong beliefs. Another type of rope is bad habits. You're like, man, I want to do that. But you've got the bad habit of, you know, eating 12 bags of Cheetos every day, so you don't have any energy. That's all it is. It's a bad habit. So we got to replace that. So in this conference, we're giving you a sharp knife. And this sharp knife is what you're going to use to lean over the side of the balloon. It's a little scary. You're going to lean over the side of the balloon. You're going to cut those ropes. Instead of saying, I could never do that, you're going to say, until now. Until now. I could never have a well-balanced life. Until now. Oh, that's forever, people. Until now. You see what I'm saying? We're going to change the way we see ourselves. Dad was the master of this. He was living proof. He was the example of this scenario, because when he got started in sales, he didn't sell anything. For 2.5 years on his first sales job, he didn't sell anything. Well, he did. He sold his car. He sold his furniture. And then somebody he respected looked him in the eye at a conference and said, Zig, in all my life, I've never seen such a waste. But if you believed in yourself and went to work on a regular schedule, you could be a champion. At that time in Dad's life, that was the moment he decided to understand what it meant to believe in himself. The next year, he finished number 2 out of 7,000 salespeople. He'd never been in the top 5,000 in the previous 2.5 years. Did his skill go up? What changed? Somebody he trusted said, you can be a great one. He needed somebody to uncap the potential. So I want to share with you a transformation story. And I want you to meet this lady during the breaks because she's pretty awesome. And I've kind of warned her I'm going to do this. So, Mahango, this is for you. This is one of our ZLCers. Mahango, where are you? Raise your hand. Right there. Raise your hand. All right. Give Mahango a round of applause. She's amazing. So Mahango comes. This is a transformation story. This is a balloon getting stopped and then the rope getting cut. She comes to ZLC. How many years ago was that? Yeah. Three and a half years ago. She comes to ZLC. She shows up. That's Matt Rush with her, one of our ZLCs. That's her old office there. That's headquarters. And she is excited. Now, I have to tell you, when you meet Mahango, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get intimidated. Okay? Her charisma, her personality, her energy, the way that she comes across, you're like, golly, I want some of that. Now, I'm kind of an S personality. I'm very stable. My emotional level doesn't change too much. And so Mahango comes in. She comes in all the way from Darwin, Australia. That's a long way. And she makes friends with everybody in the room. And when we do our ZLC, we go through the program, and then you get up and lead some sessions, you know, little things just to kind of get in the groove. And she's got the attention of everybody in the room. We're looking at her. We're like, man, this lady's going to be unbelievable. Then we have this little thing called graduation. So all of our ZLCers, is graduation not the most amazing thing you've ever had in your life? Yeah. Everybody at graduation, You can talk as much as you want, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, we start throwing rocks, but, you know. And what we want you to share is what's on your heart. So Mahango gets up, and I'm sitting to the side, and she gets up, and she starts to talk, and immediately the tears start to come. She grabs a tissue. She cried. And we're like, what's going on? I don't know how long it was, 10, 20, 30 seconds into it. She gets her composure, and this is what she says. She says, you know, she says, I wasn't sure if I was coming. 6 months ago, we were in our team meeting at our company, and we were laying out plans, and our managing director, her boss, I'm not sure what his title was there. And she says, I had wanted to speak and coach and train and help other people. My passion, my calling is to help others be, do, and have more. And I made that visible. I told my managing director, that's what I want to do. And in front of the group, he looked at her and said, oh, you don't have the skill or the personality for that. You could never do that. I got Texas mad. I start to cry when I talk about this because this lady is amazing. How do you tell one of God's creations they can't? He takes what you are and uses you wherever you are. And so as she told the story at the end, I got up and I said, Mahango, I'm coming to Australia. We're going to do a talk together. This is the picture right after she gave her graduation speech. And I don't know if you can see the expression on her face. And there's Jim Bardwell in the back, and he's got his hands like this. I mean, it was one of those moments. And then, what was it, Mahango? A year and a half later? Yeah. Year and a half later. There we are in Darwin, speaking all to her group of people. Was it about 70 people there? Yep, 70 people. And now, what do you do full time?
Training and coaching.
Yes! One of those ropes holding your balloon down is what the world tells you. And you've got a choice to make. You can listen to the world or you can listen to God. Because they don't tell you the same thing. So Mahango said, I'm doing it. She leaned over, cut the rope, came, unleashed. Lives are being changed. Here's the reality. You were designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. Step number 4, choose to leave a legacy. Choose to leave a legacy. 3 points here. Know the source of your gifts and talents. How many of you want to know if you're living a life on purpose? You want to know? I got this from Fred Smith Jr. Fred Smith Sr. was Dad's mentor. Fred Smith Jr. shared this on a post. Here are the 3 points that you know you're living your purpose. Number 1, you know the source of your gifts and talents. Now, I want you to understand this. You see, this was Dad. When we sum up legacy, this was Dad. Knowing the source meant that he had a personal relationship with his Lord, with God, with Jesus Christ. He had a personal relationship. It wasn't religion. It wasn't rules. It was relationship. Now, knowing the source of your gifts and talents, that's awesome. But don't forget the gifts and talents. In other words, he acknowledged that God had given him gifts and talents. So how did he develop that relationship? This is just one of his Bibles. And it's covered up with notes. Something cool is to go through. If you want to do a legacy moment, mark up the books, the God's Word, and put your own notes in it, what it meant to you and how you're praying for those in your family. How powerful is that? The second point there is develop your gifts and talents with love. develop your gifts and talents with grit. Develop your gifts and talents with grit. So, anybody know the parable of the talents in the scripture? I want you to listen to this very carefully. The master comes, and this is a question he did not ask. He didn't say, "Matt, what did you do with the talents that I gave that other guy?" He said, "Matt, what did you do with the talents that I gave you?" You see, in life, we make this mistake that we judge our success, who we are and what we want to do, our significance, by what other people are doing. They've got different gifts and talents. There's a different calling for them. We are responsible to develop our own gifts and talents. And we do it with grit. Dad did this more intense than anybody I know. This is what he worked on every day. He took what God's gift was and he said, "Can I do a little bit better? Can I do more?" Now, whenever he would go and speak and he would come home and I'd say, "Dad, how did you do?" He never measured the success of the event by the applause or the standing ovations or whether the host said it was awesome. He measured it by these two standards. Number one, did I prepare to give the best presentation I could? And number two, did I share God's truth in love? That was it. That was it. Step number three there is share your gifts and talents with love. On your handout, it might say grit. I want you to cross the word grit out and put the word love. You see, the world thinks that how hard we work is proof that we're working hard. It's proof that we're doing good stuff. I want you to change that thought. It's how much we love in the process of our work that makes the difference. That was one of Dad's secrets, his love wherever he would go. So what is legacy? Legacy is when you teach and transfer the habits that build character, integrity, and wisdom that will ripple through eternity. Let me give you a picture of legacy. I want you to raise your hand if you have shared Zig Ziglar's wisdom or philosophy or what he meant to you to somebody else. Just raise your hand. Guys, that's legacy. Mark Batterson said, "Inheritance is what you leave to someone. Legacy is what you leave in someone." Legacy is when you internalize the wisdom, the character, the integrity, the right choices that you can then communicate to somebody else so they can be, do, and have more. Legacy is a transference of habit. Legacy is a transference of habit. Gosh, I've got habits from Dad that he never taught me. Let me say that again. I've got habits from Dad that he never taught me. I caught him. He never said get up at 4:30 and do these things. He just did it every day I can remember. And guess what? He didn't need the electronic rooster to wake him up. Because he was waking up to work on a dream. When you combine love, integrity, and skill, you create a legacy. Why'd I put skill in there? Because it's a choice. It's an intentional decision to do the things that create legacy. You do it so often, it becomes habit. You do it so often, then it's natural. It's just who you are. It's just a response. So what is habit? Habit is simply a series of small right choices done over and over again. That's what habit is. It's right choices done over and over again. Tell you one story as we close. I'll never forget it. It was like it was yesterday. This is an intentional legacy moment. Dad and I love to play golf. Anybody here golfer? I see Stuart, my friend Stuart. God, we played a lot of golf together back then, didn't we? A lot. Dad was about, I was about 25, 26 years old. So almost 30 years ago. We had a routine. Dad would say, "You want to play?" I'd say, "Sure." So I'd go pick him up. I'd get his 400-pound golf bag. I'd put it into the trunk of my car. He had the Rodney Dangerfield golf bag. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was massive. We would go play, then we'd come back home, and I would unload the golf bag into the garage. And so this was a summer's evening. I think it was maybe August. It was about 7:30. It was about 45 minutes before it was really dark. It was that, you know how the locusts in this part of the world are just kind of starting to little chum going, you know, a little churn? It was about 93 degrees, but the temperature was coming down. So since you were used to 100, it wasn't so bad. Twilight. It was almost twilight, right? So we're getting out of the car. I load his bag into the garage, and we hug because we always hug. I mean, Dad and I, we had a great relationship our whole life. I mean, that's a blessing that I have. And I'm starting to get in my car, and he's walking in. And then I hear, "Son," and he turns around. And he comes to me, and he puts his hands on my shoulder. Just one here, one here. And he says, "Son, I need to apologize." Now, I have no clue, because he's like as good a dad as there can be. I said, "Dad, what do you mean you need to apologize?" And he says, "Son, I don't think I've told you enough how much I love you and how proud I am of you." When I remember that, I'm there again. That type of intentional legacy is a choice. The next time God puts something on your heart to share with somebody you love, don't say, "Oh, I'll do that tomorrow." You do it right then. That's legacy. Now, when you've got the Ziegler gene in you, you get to make stuff up. So we made up this word, significance, is when you combine success, significance, and legacy. My name is Tom Ziegler. I am the proud son of Zig Ziegler, and I'm so honored and blessed that you are here. Thank you so much.